Well, good morning. Glad each one of you can be here. I'd like to continue on kind of a theme that we've started this year. Leave the words up on the board about being a faithful Christian. I want to be faithful. I believe with all my heart that God is faithful. He's been faithful to me. We've already heard others testify this morning that God was faithful to them. And I believe He'll be faithful to every one of us here today. I don't believe there's no doubt in my mind that God will be there for us when we need Him. And sometimes He gives us answers and gives us direction that we don't fully comprehend or maybe know how to appreciate at that time. But I believe God will be there for us. Bring us through to a place of real victory in the end. My thoughts beginning this year has been directed towards us being faithful and being able to be real Christians in the world that we live in, and to do that in an offensive manner compared to being always on the defense. Sometimes in our work, we feel like maybe we're on defense. Maybe you show up and someone said, there's water on the floor. And immediately you go into a defensive maneuver to clean up the water on the floor. I showed up to work one day and there was 200 or 300 gallons of oil on the floor, used oil. Now, I'm telling you, that's a bad defensive place to be in, try to clean all that up. You might have to go into defense when the power goes off. If you're baking bread and the power goes out, well, what do you do? I mean, that's a defense, you understand? An offense is more like coming up with a new recipe, reaching a new customer. Offense is what you do to advance to the point that you can score in a ball game. Offense is being able to put the right batter in the batter's box, so to speak, that when the bases are loaded, that he's most likely to hit a home run and bring, they call that a grand slam, don't they? When they bring not only the one at bat, but you got the bases loaded and you get four runs. Now, that's an offensive maneuver, is to maybe change the batter lineup and say, that is legal, isn't it? I think it is. It's offensive to advance the ball down the court in football to get the ball across the line to make a touchdown. So defense is what you're doing against the opposition, and offense is you advancing and taking territory from the enemy. Okay, so that's my thoughts are leaning in that direction. I want us to be faithful, but not just faithful and try to defend our position and clean up the spills and all of that, but be faithful and advance towards the goal. Be able to gain more victory, be able to be closer to the Lord on an individual basis, and for us collectively as a congregation, as Christianity at whole, that people would recognize that the power of God working in a man's life, a woman's life, is the best thing that could ever happen to us. The last thing I want to do is portray to the world that being a Christian is a heavy burden to bear. I want people to see that living for God in truth and in simplicity is something that everybody ought to want to do, right? When you see an advertisement on the side of the road, they don't show some decrepit person partying. They don't show somebody that's that can't hardly put one foot in front of the other. They show somebody that's full of life, and they show somebody that has smiles on their face, and it looks like they're happy, and all of those kind of things. Well, I want to portray to the world that if you're a Christian, that's the best thing that could happen to you. That things do come together instead of coming apart. So I'd like to look at a passage of Scripture. We read at least some of this last Sunday in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, over here in the New Testament. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, and would like to go down to verse 19 and begin there. It says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." So Jesus came with the veil of flesh, humanity, paid the price, and opened an avenue where we can have access not only for forgiveness, but for the Holy Spirit to come and infill our hearts and lives and minds. He said here, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." That's how it's made possible, is because Jesus came in the flesh, lived successfully in a wicked world. You think we live in a wicked world? Jesus lived in a wicked world too. There was people running around in all stages of undress. There was inappropriate relationships going on. There was all kinds of violence. It was not a pretty place when Jesus came to this world. So we find here in verse 21, "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near," verse 22, "with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." He wants to clean us up. He wants to do something for us and put us on a course of success. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." I know I read that verse last week. I want to be able to provoke us, to encourage us, to prod us, to, we all know how to provoke one another in a bad way. I can think of lots of ways to provoke somebody in a bad way. And I watched it happen in my home. My brother and I provoked one another in bad ways. But I would like to think that today my brother and I can provoke one another in a good way. And I want us to be provoked and challenged and prodded and encouraged to do the right thing this morning. He said, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching." So the whole burden that I have today is that we would be provoked to draw closer to the Lord, to go on more of an offense of gaining ground and not just defending this little spot that I'm on, but to take some more, to get a little closer to the Lord, to get in a better position. Yes, there's defensive things that we have to do. We still have to sweep the floor at the house. I still track in stuff. My wife cleans up my messes, and sometimes I clean up her messes. And we still have some defensive maneuvers that we have to do, but I want us to be able to make it a better place in our family, in the congregation, in the world around us, a better place because the Lord came and provided a way where we can be successful. I believe that. One of the tips is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's important. How else are we going to be able to provoke one another? Thankfully, we got telephones. We can send emails and all that, but there's just something about coming together that really helps to provoke us. And I'm thankful for that. You know, there's no calling in the scripture for us to be a spectator or an attendee or a bench warmer. There is no calling for that. I didn't say there was no call for it. I said there's no calling for that. That's not an achievement. You understand what I'm saying? There's no achievement in just being present. Don't kick me to the curb yet. I believe that is an achievement to put forth the effort to be in attendance. But in the grand scheme of things, that's not a calling. It's an expectation, but it's not a calling. So how do we get to the place that we can gain more ground? You know, there's a saying, if you want a raise on your job, do something to demonstrate that you ought to get one. You don't just knock on the boss's door and say, hey, I've been here X number of time, this much time, I think I'm due for a raise. Do something that deserves a raise. All right? So, it applies in our work. Just merely being in attendance, although years of seniority are valuable. There's a level of loyalty there, but do something that causes other people to say, you know, that person is very valuable. That person is very instrumental in our operation. We would be lost if they weren't here. We ought to compensate them accordingly. So there is something about effort to be in attendance, but I'm going to tell you, there's a calling for something besides that. There's an expectation, but there's a calling to something higher. I believe there's a place of being qualified. There's a place of instruction. There's a place of proving ourselves. But there's no place for perpetual spiritual freewheeling. No place for that. If we want to progress, if we want to be on the offensive and really gaining ground, there's no real place for spiritual freewheeling. My mother used to say something like this, and there's many variations. I've done a little checking, and this seems like there's a lot of variations of this little adage. I can't, never did anything. You ever heard that? I can't, never did anything. Never did nothing, some people said. Forget whether it's grammatically correct or not, you get the point. I can't. It never did nothing. It just won't. Did you know there's a man in the Bible that said, I can't. But he did. I'd like to turn to Exodus, the 4th chapter, and read about him just a little bit. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 4. I would like to begin reading in verse 10. And Moses. What kind of man was Moses? He's a man that led the children of Israel out of Egypt, wasn't he? He was a man that was at the front of the pack. He's the one that was there when they crossed the Red Sea. He was right up there at the edge of the water, wasn't he? He was the leader. But listen to this. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I never have been, and I haven't got any better. Now that sounds like I can't, doesn't it? But I am slow to speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Now stop and listen to me just a little bit. He said to Moses, Who made your mouth? Moses said, I can't. And the Lord said, Who made your mouth? You follow me so far? Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Now, the grammar in that verse, the verse 13, is a little bit obscure. But he says, and he said, or Moses said, O my Lord, send somebody that you would choose that can do the job. I can't. Even after the Lord said, Moses, who made your mouth? Who made you able to talk anyway? Who did all that? And Moses said, Lord, I can't. But whoever you choose, I just pray that you'd be able to send them and they would be able to do it. Moses said, I can't. You ever said, I can't? My mother said, can't never did anything. And that usually meant you're not getting off the hook. That usually meant get out there and do what I said to do. And you know how did Moses get off the hook? Well, we know the end of the story. We know Moses didn't get off the hook. We know that Moses was used of God. We know that he did. And I don't know what the end is going to be for all of us here. But I want to be able to be used. I want the Lord to be able to take my I can'ts and change them around. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. You think that's what the Lord wanted? Now Moses, he's going to be, instead of your mouth, it's going to be his mouth. And he don't have the connection with God because I'm going to be talking to you and you're going to be instead of God to him. You understand? And do you think that's the way God wanted it to be? You know, sometimes it'd be a whole lot better if we'd allow God to develop us and use us instead of him getting something done in spite of us. And many times that's what happened, especially with Moses. Verse 17, and thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, and wherewith thou shalt do signs. We're not going to read any more there. But I just want us to realize that Moses said, I can't. Just as the thought may come into your mind, I can't. I can't do nothing more than be in attendance. Is that what he wants out of us? I'm going to tell you there's an expectation there. Maybe you might say there's an obligation. But the Lord wants more. The Lord wants us to respond to a call. So I'd like to turn with that to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter over here in the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're talking about being faithful as Christians and being on the offensive. You know how long Moses had been in training when the Lord was speaking to him there? I believe it was about 40 years. When he was younger and when he felt the initial call of the Lord. You ever felt a call? Lord, are you sure that's what you want me to do? And Moses made a grievous mistake. You remember what that mistake was? He started out in his own power, and he made such a flop that he just throwed in the towel and he run off. You remember? He took it in his own hands to defend the Israelites, and he took the life of that Egyptian. And then later he tried to straighten out a conflict between two of the Israelites, and they threw it back in his face, and he ran off scared. You remember that situation? And he spent 40 years out there in the wilderness. And Lord come back. Moses, I still got a job for you to do. Moses had been on defense for a long time. But God got a hold of him one last time there. And the end of Moses was he became a leader. And he didn't even do that really the way the Lord wanted him to do. But the Lord worked with him. And you know, if the Lord can make a leader and use Moses, he can use us. He can use me. Moses was not the compliant child of God. Moses was not the one that everybody looked to and said, oh, to have the courage and the faith and the stamina of Moses. Moses was the one that said, I can't. There's no way. I can't hardly talk. I stutter, I stammer, I can't hardly put my words together. There's just no way I can do that. And Moses said, no excuse. God said to Moses, there's no excuse. Just like my mother said, can't never do nothing. Never did anything. That meant get out there and get busy. That meant you're going to have to put an effort into it. Notice here in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, I'm going to read a few verses at the beginning and maybe towards the end of this chapter. I'm sorry, it's chapter 12, not chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the first verse says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, even as ye were led. We have all been in that position. We've all been in the Gentile position where we were had been led astray by the things around us that were ungodly, that were idols. And he said, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. We have to have a personal experience with the Lord to be able to go on the offense. That's a requirement. We're not going to be able to be... Moses had to have a real... He got his personal experience in the wilderness. You want to... There's something about being in the wilderness all alone that really helps us come to grips with who we are and how we relate or should relate to the Lord. God wants us to have a personal experience. We may have to go through some wilderness. Hopefully we don't have to go through 40 years of it like Moses did. But he wants us to have that real connection. And he said here, you can't call Jesus, you can't say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. You have to have Holy Ghost inspiration to fully understand and be prepared in your heart and in your mind to take this on the offensive side. Remember, we're trying to talk about being a faithful Christian. And I believe being faithful means that we're able and capable of taking things to an offensive strategy instead of a defensive strategy. Defensive strategy means I'm just going to keep the smuck out of my little small area. And offensive means I'm advancing the cause. Maybe it's in my family. Maybe it's in the neighborhood. Maybe it's in my job, on my job. Maybe it's in that little sphere of influence that I have, however small it is, but I want to take it on the offense instead of just answering the why question. I'm asking somebody else, why not? You see the difference? People can come and ask, why do you do this? Why do you do that? And, you know, the lamest excuse we can give is that's what the folks do down at the church. That's the lamest excuse we can give. The offensive is, why don't you want to live a different life? Why don't you want to have something better, something that's real, something that really gives you peace? Why don't you want that? That's more of an offense, you see. And I don't know what every one of our sphere of influence is different. Some of it might be big, and some of it might be real small. It might just be one person that we have any kind of impact or any kind of influence on. And he said here, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. We're going to have a different administration probably by this time tomorrow. Different administration. It's the same office. Still going to be president. But we all know it's going to be a different administration. There's going to be a different mindset there. There's a different political party, yes. But there's going to be just the way things are approached and the way things, it's different. There are differences of administration. You know, you can have a parent that says, oh, honey, I'm sorry that it hurts. And the other one says, are you bleeding? Well, it's too far from your heart. It won't kill you. Different administration, you see. Same care for the same child. But you can have a different administration. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The Lord wants us to not just be a defensive Christian, but He wants us to be a faithful Christian, faithful to be in the offensive operational strategy, if you will. And He wants every man to profit, not just me. But Lord, help me to be able to lead someone else to a place that they see the benefit, the peace, the happiness, the joy that can come from being a faithful Christian. All right? It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Wouldn't you like to have the wise word sometimes? I would. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. He has a calling for me, and He has a calling for you. He has a job. He has a position for you to advance the cause. I don't know what that is for everybody, but I know it's something besides just being in attendance. I don't mean to just beat that to death, but I want us to get the thought. There is something He wants out of us more than just protecting this little spot. He wants us to move the mark in the other direction, to move the needle just a little bit. Now I'd like to skip down towards the end of this chapter, verse 37, and I won't be much longer. Appreciate your time and your attention. Well, I'm sorry, not 37, but verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You're the body of Christ, members of that body. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongue. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gift of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. We are to have a desire to move the needle. I know there is a place that sometimes we have to be on the defense. We have to clean up, clear out. We have to repair the broken, all of that. There is a place for that. You know, Moses was doing that in the wilderness. He got over there. And when he was leaving and going to the wilderness, he felt lonely. He felt like a total failure. He felt like everything that he had attempted to do, he knew that God had spoken to him. And yet, here he was going out into the wilderness feeling like he had made the biggest flop that any person could have ever made in their life. And if we'd have been in Moses' position, we would have felt that way too. And he got out there in the desert, and time and the Lord had a way of really working with Moses. And Moses got to the place that he was willing to go out of his way to see why the bush was on fire and it wasn't burning up. And through that experience, the Lord told him, I want you to go back. I want you to... Sometimes We feel like we've made a mess. Like we failed. And the Lord gives us another opportunity. And I'm very grateful for that. And at that time, He can help us as we go back. To be able to rise above our failures and be able to be the be the advancement of the cause that He wants us to be. But I notice the first verse that I read here, 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Every one of us that's saved is a member of the body of Christ, or a member of the church of God. And if you don't believe that, then maybe we need to have a Bible study on that. But I believe if you have repented and confessed your sins and asked God to come into your heart, you're a member of the church of God. That's what I believe makes us a member. And every member has a function. From your little toe to your tonsils, they all got a function. Right? I still got my little toes and I still got my tonsils. I'm not real sure what little toes. I think I could function without my little toe. And there's a lot of people that functions without their tonsils in this world because somebody cut them out. But I'm pretty sure that they got a function. I'm not sure what it is. Every one of us have a function. And the function ultimately is to advance the cause. If nothing else, to be able to crowd the enemy out. Crowd the enemy out of your life. Crowd the enemy out of somebody else's life. Out of a particular environment. You know that you have the ability to impact the environment that you live in, that you work in. You can set a tone. You can set a precedence that can advance the cause ever so slightly, ever so incrementally, and little by little, it can come as an advancement of the cause. That's why I say you've got a calling. You remember? You know, every function of every member of the body is necessary for a healthy and a balanced life. And you know, normal and healthy is what God's looking for. That's what He's looking for. You know, just as your heart goes out to someone that's missing something obvious, like from an injury or an accident, we should be touched when we realize the Lord spoke to us and said, you can do that. That's your calling. That's something that you could do to help the cause. If we give God the answer that Moses gave, expect Him to come back and say, here's how it's going to happen. Can't, never did do anything. I want you to do it, and I want you to start moving forward. If we keep our heart right with the Lord, He's going to make a way for us. We should be touched when we see something missing in the church. I knew a man that was injured, and he lost both of his arms. I didn't know him very well. I knew him as a customer because he drove his truck to the shop that I worked. And I got acquainted with him a little bit because I went for a drive with him in his truck. This man did not have any arms. He didn't have stubs of an arm. His arms were missing right here at the shoulder socket on both sides. Someone had taken his shirt and sewn it up where he put his shirt on, and he didn't have nothing for an arm. And he drove his diesel four-door dually four-wheel drive truck to the shop. Now, I know the question you all have is, how did he do that? Well, somebody had put what we call a hydraulic steering valve in the floorboard. And it had a round pad and two little knobs right there in the floorboard. And underneath it had a hydraulic cylinder on the steering linkage. And when he put his foot on that little plate and turned it with his foot, the steering wheel turned just like somebody's hand was on it. And when I went for a drive with him, he went over to the truck and he stood on one leg. And I'm not going to try to balance and do it like he did. But he didn't have no arms to hold on to anything with. And he reached up his foot like this. He's a lot more limber than I am. And he hooked the door handle with his toe. He had tennis shoes on. And he flipped the door open. And he got in the truck. And he reached under the edge of the door and caught it with his foot and gave it a jerk. And pulled his foot out just at the right instant. And the door went closed. And he slept the key in the ignition, and he had something fastened to the ignition. He could take his knee and push it up and start the truck. And he used his eye socket. He'd reach up there and grab that shift lever, and he'd pull it down in gear, and off he went. And you look on somebody that overcomes those kind of odds, and you say, I ain't got no excuse. I got two arms and two hands. And if that man can do that, and I found out what he did for it, he went to work every day, folks. He had an excavation company. He drove a bulldozer and a track hoe. And he told me, he said, I don't like these new things with the electronic controls. He said, I got to have an old machine with all hydraulic controls because I got to do everything with my feet. And he did. You know, sometimes we see places where the church is functioning like a man with no arms. And I believe the reason it does is because the Lord has put his finger on somebody that said, I can't. And it's even worse than Moses was. They were unwilling to let their brother help them. Moses, fortunately, was willing to let their brother help them. I hope that we are challenged this morning to go on the offense, not just try to defend that little spot and keep from losing out. Please understand me. I don't want anybody to lose out this morning. I want you to stay saved. If you're saved this morning, I want you to keep saved. But I got news for you. The Lord wants you to respond to a call. Take the cause a little further. And take it on the offense. I don't know what your sphere of influence is altogether. But we all have something, and we can take it. We have a choice. We can either take it on the offense, or we can do nothing. And we can just try to defend some little something. I want to be able to take it. I want to be more effective this year. I want to be called faithful. I want to be able to take it a little further than I went before. I want to be what God would have us to be. You pray for me that I'll be a faithful Christian.